You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 24 for June 18th, 2012.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk about all kinds of running topics and I guess our training and what we're up to and
races
that we tackle. So see what's going on this week. We are going to have a kind of race report because you did race
this past weekend.
A trail race.
Mm-hmm.
And some interesting stuff happened after the race.
Yes.
Which we'll get to later. But let's see. What are we going to get to first? First, I think we wanted to... one more thing, I guess, from the Mermaid Duathlon that you did now 2 weeks ago.
A week ago. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think in the last episode, talked about the Mermaid Duathlon. My first duathlon that I had done, I mentioned about... waiting around for kind of results to be posted, and you know, they had some sort of glitch, I'm not really sure what, that delayed the results being posted, but they did send out kind of like a wrap-up email. I think it was a few days later, maybe even after that, kind of apologizing, saying, you know, sorry that we didn't have results up after the event. I guess it sounds like they actually never really had finalized results up at the event, so, you know, I don't know if I know we left before they even... maybe announced it. I'm assuming they announced that. But so they did send out an email kind of apologizing for that. And then what they're going to do is actually mail out the awards to all the winners and the age group winners and all of that. So that's kind of nice.
And I guess that was kind of our complaint
last
week. And we kind of said that they should have just mailed them out because of the delays. And that's what they ended up doing.
Right.
But we weren't actually the only ones that complained about it too, because you ran into some people this past weekend.
At the trail race.
Yeah, who was kind of saying the same stuff.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny.
But it's,
so kudos to them for doing that and mailing it out, and you know, kind of nice to get that out to the winners.
All right, so let's jump into how our weeks went. I'll let you go first.
All right, so I had a crazy week, but mainly that's because of the race and post-race, but we'll get into that later. So I basically got 30 miles of running in, including the trail half marathon. And I think I got one incline workout on the treadmill during the week in preparation for the trail half marathon. I think I was on the spinner one day during the week, and then I did weight training one day also. And I think what I missed last week, my black toenail.
Yeah, your toenail.
Watch. Yeah. It's still attached. It's still black, but it's still attached.
And no worse from running this past weekend?
No, like the nail bed was kind of hurting a little bit towards the end of the race and afterwards, but it's totally, it feels fine now. It doesn't bother me or anything like that.
Maybe you'll just need to run a full marathon to really jack that thing up.
Great. I've kind of been waiting for it. I don't know how it's going to grow out, but I know toenails grow out pretty slowly, so we'll see what happens.
Right.
I'm sure you guys are probably sick of hearing about my toenail watch. All right. I think that was, I'll get into kind of the meat of my week when I talk about the race. So
okay,
yeah. So
my week was a very low mileage week, but I had talked on the last episode that I felt like I was kind of in a rut the last several weeks, I guess. And happy to say, I think I'm out of my rut.
Woo!
So I actually got 3 days this week in of running, which is kind of my goal every week. I don't really shoot for more than that. Mm-hmm. So I always say my usual is, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, and a weekend run, which this week I think I ran Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. And like I said, it was just really short runs. Wednesday was just kind of just to get a run in.
Mm-hmm.
Friday went out after work in the evening, which I always say Friday's kind of the somewhat easiest and hardest day to get a run in, because it's like Friday and there's always something better you could be doing in a way. It's like, you know, that's kind of the easiest night to go out or catch up with friends or do whatever you do on a Friday night. But then, you know, the flip side to that is, hey, it's, you know, if you work Monday through Friday, is that, you know, it's Friday night, I don't really have to be anywhere the next day or,
right,
you know, no work the next day. So I've always found running on Fridays sometimes really easy and sometimes really, really difficult to do. But yeah, so got out there Friday. And then I ran on Sunday morning, which I went out to do. My goal was to do, like, I think I even said I was going to do somewhere between like 5 and 8 miles or 5, 6 miles or something like that. I think I went out like 7:45. And to give you a clue, the weather.
In the morning.
7:45 in the morning. We've actually, we had real hot streak in terms of the weather.
Yeah.
From like Thursday through Sunday. So it was extremely hot this weekend.
For California.
For Northern California.
We got to add that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I went out 7:45 and I was like, immediately, I'm like, oh my God, it's already getting really hot. So I just basically threw out the idea of running more than 5 miles out the window. And I just ended up running 3 miles, but I kind of turned it into a 3 mile tempo run,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of picked up the pace much faster than I normally did. But partially because I just wanted to get home and out of the heat. And we actually talked to a friend of ours who ran on Saturday, like at the exact same time. And he was saying how hot it was out there. So it was kind of a brutal, brutal weekend.
Yeah. But. And so he usually runs Saturday and Sundays. And so I think he said he didn't run Sunday because Saturday was kind of brutal for him. So he just decided to skip Sunday.
Yeah. And Saturday was actually the hotter day
around
here. But I didn't even catch how many miles he ran. So
I don't think I did either. I know it was at least six because I think that's kind of his.
Oh, then he's crazy because it was way too hot for that, I can tell you. And I know I'm usually the one that complains about the heat.
Right. But I actually will agree with you that, yes, it was hot this weekend. It actually was hot.
Yeah. So I'm really happy to just kind of. I was just happy to get the days in. I didn't really care about the mileage.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I'm out of my rut and going to keep it going.
Woohoo!
Because back to racing in a couple of weeks, but we'll get to that. So what are we talking about today? Before we kind of get to the race report, a couple things I wanted to mention. Rock and Roll Savannah, Georgia. I won't do an accent. they just announced, I think it was last week, they just announced they're changing their course. I think it's going to be the second year that they do the race. But not that they had any problems or anything like that, but they did update the course to kind of make it a little bit better from what they say. I mean, I didn't run it, so I don't know. But yeah.
More scenic or they said better?
When I was reading kind of comments on it, a lot of people complained that last year was whatever road they had to run up was like right into a headwind.
Oh.
And I don't know if the area is like super windy or something mm-hmm. like that, but I think they were trying to avoid that and probably, I assume, make it a little bit more scenic. But everybody seemed to kind of positively praise the course change, so that's something to note if you're in the area or you're looking to do a rock and roll out there. What else? The other thing I want to mention was, it's kind of funny, when we were in rock at R&R San Diego, we talked about that day we were kind of just chilling at the hotel.
Oh right, the day before, I think
the day before the race, we didn't want to go use up too much energy the day before, so we ended up watching on History. I think it was History Channel.
I think it was.
They did that Hatfield and McCoy's. Funny. Hatfield and McCoy miniseries,
yeah,
with Kevin Costner and other
guy. Forgot his name again.
The other guy that we couldn't think of his name when we watched it, and we looked it up and now forgot it again. So it's kind of funny. We ended up watching like 3 hours of that, in San Diego, and then we ended up catching the rest
at home,
just because hey, we already invested 3 hours. Let's exactly. see the whole six. So
it was pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was actually not a bad little miniseries thing. But it's funny. I guess last week. I think it's like at the beginning of June. There's actually a Hatfield and McCoy marathon. So I was like, oh, that's to me, it seemed really interesting and really uh-huh. cool. And I don't know exactly where it starts or where it finishes, but obviously the Hatfield McCoys were West Virginia, Kentucky.
Yeah.
Kind of battle between the two there. So I just got a kick out of the fact that on the front page it says, notice to the 50 staters, this race counts as either a West Virginia or Kentucky.
Because I guess it goes through both?
Because it goes through both.
Okay.
If you run it for 2 years. So you can count it as Kentucky 1 year and West Virginia the next year, or vice versa.
That's pretty cool.
No cheating in counting it.
For two is...
Yeah, I don't think you could do that as a 50-stater. I don't really know anybody that's done that or been trying to do that, but...
That's pretty cool.
I don't think it's a race we'll ever make it out to.
Really?
But, well... I don't know.
I just think it'd be kind of cool to say, like, I ran the Hatfield and McCoy marathon.
I
don't know if we'll... Yeah, I guess I don't know if we'll ever make it.
It was just really interesting timing kind of after we watched
the miniseries.
Well,
it was funny because you're like, did you know there's a Hatfield and McCoy marathon? And, of course, I thought, like, oh, they're going to replay the miniseries. I'm like, there is? They're going to replay it? He's like, no, like, there's actually a marathon called. I'm like, oh, okay.
I
was a little slow with that.
I think they actually call it like a Hatfield and McCoy reunion / festival / marathon, half marathon. So I didn't read through all the activities on what's going on, but I thought it was kind of interesting just as a race. So
that's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. So let's see. What else is going on in the news? Boston announced last week. I think it was last week. Yeah, they just announced it a few days back.
Yeah.
that for 2013, Shalane, Davia, and Kerry Goucher are all going to do the Boston Marathon. So those are your, in case you're not up with the Olympics, those are your three women that are going to run for the U.S. in the Olympics in like a month, month and a half.
Right, for the marathon.
For the marathon, and they're all going to be back to do Boston next year. So
that'll be a good race.
I think it's going to be really interesting, you know, watching them fight it out for kind of the top U.S. runner this year, and then basically having a rematch at Boston next year. And I think Shalane actually has some, is from the Boston area or has some roots.
Yeah, I think she's
on the East Coast there. Yeah. So for her, might be a little bit of a coming home thing. But yeah, they actually did a little video on their website that kind of promos the three of them doing it next year. So that's something.
That's kind of interesting to kind of get them to all three to do Boston next year.
Yeah, and to commit. I'm surprised they would commit to it before the Olympics.
Wonder what it took.
I don't really have any reason for that, but I would just assume that, you know, the Olympics is kind of so heavy on your mind that you're kind of putting everything else off until afterwards.
Yeah.
Since we're only 6-8 weeks, I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I have the dates here. The Olympics start July 25th. Oh, wow. So we're like five weeks away.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll totally tune in. Well, I'll tune in, but Boston's run on a Monday, so I'll call in sick and maybe tune in to see it. But we'll see, you know, I mean,
you'll tune in after work.
You know, we got high hopes for them at the Olympics, but I don't know. You know, they could end up finishing
five, six, seven.
I don't know.
Who knows? We'll be cheering for them, though.
Yeah. So that's kind of what we had, I guess, going on in the world of running this week. So I guess we'll straight away into your race report.
Okay.
And tell us how that went. Let's see, you did the Trail Quake half marathon.
Half marathon.
In at Sanborn County Park, which is in the South Bay. I guess we could best describe it as kind of near San Jose, California.
Yeah.
A trail half. So, yeah. Why don't you...
It was another brazen race. So we talk about, you know, brazen racing.
We always talk about we're huge fans of theirs for several reasons. Well organized, good prices, good shirts, lots of food.
Good, great volunteers.
Oh, and, yeah, great volunteers. Yeah. And you always, everybody gets a medal.
Yeah.
Like 5K, 10K, everything. Yeah, we were actually talking about just with all the people volunteering and working in and kind of everything. It seems actually more like a big group of friends.
Yeah.
Or like a family atmosphere. Putting on the event rather than like some professional company.
That just kind of came in and
So it's a cool environment.
Yeah, I think it's a lot more of a kind of like a family community feel to the races, and that's another plus. So it was another brazen race. There's a trail, like most of theirs are, and I did half marathon. So it was my second.
I think so.
Yeah, second trail half marathon. Much tougher than the first one. The first one was Badger Cove, which I did back in March, also a brazen race. And they actually have this series. They call it I don't know if I mentioned it before. I don't think I did. It's called an ultra half series that they do. And they call it ultra because it's all, trail halves. So not just, you know, not road halves. So they're tougher than, you know, your typical half marathon. And also because it's done on, you know, like parks and trails and that sort of thing, they can't always get the mileage to be 13.1. So most of them are actually a little bit longer. Some are like 13.5, 13.3, that sort of thing. So they have an ultra half series where a number of their half marathons are part of the series. If you do four of those half marathons plus, I guess, like they call it the championship one.
The final
one.
Yeah,
it's like the toughest one in October. If you do four plus that one, anybody who participates in those will actually get a coaster that says that they participated in the series.
So it's actually, you have to do five total. Okay.
Yep. So four and then the championship one. Right. And then they also have other championship races where for people, the really fast people, the top competitors, whoever, I guess, runs their races the fastest, I don't know how to explain that, that you know, as part of the series, will actually get money. If you know, if they run a certain number of them, and then they're the fastest ones that ran those specific races plus the championship race. So
yeah, there's actually some pretty good money offered up, considering, you know, this isn't like something for professional athletes. You know, this is for amateurs, kind of.
yeah.
to go out there and do trail races. So it's actually pretty, pretty cool, actually.
Right. Yeah. So I'm definitely not competing for the money because I'm not gonna.
You're just looking for the accomplishment of.
Yeah. Yeah, the accomplishment. I just think it's pretty cool. So this was my second race of the series, but they're like fifth or something of the year. So it did actually end up being 13.1 miles. So this one wasn't long. Like we mentioned before, this weekend was pretty warm. So I knew it was going to be warmer than it had been, you know, in the weeks prior. And they did send out, you know, a lot of like emails plus like Facebook posts saying, you know, prepare for the weather, make sure you hydrate, you know, like it's going to be hot. And they're always pretty good about sending kind of pre-race emails with specific information about that or like parking and, you mm-hmm. know, that sort of thing. So we left, of course we mentioned it before too. We tend to err on the side of getting there early versus running late. And of course we got there pretty early in comparison to the race start. Started at 8 a.m. We got there like at 7. Seven or before?
Probably a little bit before that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's mainly because we had to drive quite a ways to get there, and then they warned us that the road leading to the park was going to be one-way traffic.
Yeah.
Like alternating because they're doing construction, so mm-hmm. we just had no idea how long that would take. And,
right.
And like you said, we'd much rather get there early than late.
Mm-hmm.
So we were there very early.
Right.
And you would think right. you would think getting there early would get you the best parking spot, but I think...
It didn't.
We had like the farthest parking spot.
Right. Because I think they were kind of filling the furthest ones yeah. and then, yeah.
Yeah. No complaints there. But yeah,
no,
it was
one
lot at a time. But it was funny. I was like, oh, we should have waited like 10 more minutes so I can get
the
good spot. Because we normally luck out with parking at races, which
right.
is funny. But not this time.
Not this time. So yeah, but it was fine getting there early because that, you know, gave me time to go pick up my bib, timing chip, all that good stuff, t-shirt, use the bathroom, you know, of course, before the race. And then they have, group of people that are going to do the half marathon as hikers, basically, you know, walking the majority, if not all of it. So they usually start the race, I think, half hour
sooner.
Yeah. Half hour sooner to give them a little bit more time. So they set off. And then we started off at 8 a.m. right on time. So it was getting pretty warm. I mean, I would say probably when I was out there, it was starting off. When I started off, it was probably in the 70s and then probably 80s.
I'm bad at guessing what the temp was, so
okay.
it didn't seem that warm to me, but
yeah.
I wasn't running it, so.
Right. Well, I think when I started off, it was somewhere in the 70s. By the time I finished, it was in the 80s, but there really wasn't much of a breeze or anything like that. Luckily, most of the course was shaded. It was through, you know, just lots of trees and that sort of thing, which really, really saved me. I think probably like 90 or 95% of it was in the shade. So just the very beginning part, which actually ended up kind of being the toughest, was out and kind of exposed, you know, with the sun beating down on you. So I knew there was a couple of things that I had to worry about. One was the weather, you know, being hot or hotter than what we've been running or what I've been running in. I did take my Nathan handheld bottle, took that with me with water, took my Goose, took my honey steamer juice, kind of my typical thing. They do have aid stations out there that are like fully stocked water, electrolyte drink, and then the ones on the half marathon have like, you know, like I think candy, cookies, chips, kind of salty and sweet depending on what you need. And then the other thing was it was trail, so, and it was kind of a tough trail, I would consider, you know, single track for the most part, and lots of like roots and rocks and that sort of thing. I tripped so many times, but I think getting through that is like half the fun.
And they even said, sure, like, that, before you guys went off,
yeah,
like, every
right.
year somebody trips and falls on this course, or
yeah,
multiple
rolls an
people.
Ankle
yeah.
And,
oh, yeah, that's what it yeah. was. Every year somebody rolls an ankle, so.
Yeah, and gets taken out of the race, so
be
careful.
So they did warn you guys.
Yeah, they did warn us. And somebody did get taken out of the race. I don't think it was for a rolled ankle, but I don't know what happened.
Yeah, we found out, or I guess I found out before you came in, that somebody had injured themselves pretty seriously. I don't know exactly. It's kind of, I just kind of hear people talking about it. So, I don't know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I know EMS did show up. But I think the issue that they had was, I think they were going to take the person out on a stretcher. And I think the issue was, I don't know how far away the person was
mm-hmm.
in getting them out on a stretcher. Cause when we left the race at the end of the day, the person I think was still there.
Yeah.
They still hadn't even gotten them back to the start. So,
mm-hmm.
So at least one person unfortunately did get,
yeah,
I'll say seriously injured. I don't know exactly what it was.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like from what you heard, it sounded like maybe some broken bones and something
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody mentioned a broken bone, so.
Yeah. So hopefully they're recovering and hopefully they didn't break anything, actually. Maybe it was just a sprain or something. But yeah, so, you know, the heat, the difficulty of the trail, and then the main thing was the elevation gain and loss. It was just under 3,000 feet, which is more than I've...
It's a lot for you.
Yeah. It's a lot for me. It's a lot.
That'd be a whole hell of a lot for me.
That's a lot for me. So I know some people, you know, this is like no big deal, no problem, but that's a lot for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've been doing that much trail running lately, probably since after the last trail hop, but I want to get back to it. So those were the main factors. But the course itself was really nice, really enjoyable. I mean, right off the bat, though, you just start climbing right away.
Straight up, right at the beginning.
The first, I think, like 2.5 miles, just pretty much straight up. So, you know, it's kind of tough because you're all excited and, you know, you take off and, you know, of course you're not like sprinting or anything, but you take off and then you're like, you know, huffing and puffing because you like, you're going uphill and then you're like walking and you're like, oh man, I'm like a quarter of a mile in and I'm already walking. But, you know, you look around, everybody's walking with you. You just, you know, basically power hike, you know, the majority of it.
And that's basically what everybody was doing.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's probably the best strategy is to kind of power hike, you know, the tough uphills. Mm-hmm. And then if you can run the flat sections and the downhills, and that's pretty much what, you know, most people were doing. That's what I was trying to do. So, the very beginning wasn't single track, but then it got to single track pretty quickly. Not too difficult to kind of get around people, or people had to get around me, because there's still, you know, slightly like enough room. And plus, you know, we're all kind of walking anyway. So it's not like you're going to run somebody over, you know, mm-hmm. by running past them. And for the most part, you kind of fall in line with, you know, power hiking, you know, the same speed as the people around you. So you kind of rarely have to kind of pass people up and that sort of thing. So, but the first 2.5 miles were pretty brutal and my legs were getting pretty tired. I started getting a little bit nervous because I was like, okay, I'm only like 2 miles in. I still have another half of a mile of just like straight uphill. And I still have like another 10.5 miles after that.
That's all.
So it was, the course itself was a loop, but with two out and backs. So the first out and back was the most difficult one. That was the uphill. There was a person at the end of that just making sure that, you know, you headed back in the right direction. And then wherever there was like an intersection, there was, you know, plenty of volunteers like, okay, you know, this is your first out and back going this way. All right, you're heading that way. Okay, you're a 10K-er, because a 10K-er is actually shared most, or actually their course, all of their course completely was on the half marathon course too. And we actually saw a couple of them too when we were out there. But, you know, people did a really good job of kind of telling us where to go, making sure we didn't miss a turn. Although I do know one person who I was close to as far as proximity running with for like probably the first, I don't know, 4 miles maybe. And we just kind of kept leapfrogging with each other. You know, we're just kind of making a joke of it. Somebody, you know, I never met before. And then she kind of disappeared, you know, and I didn't see her after like on my second out and back. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, out and back, it's kind of tough to miss somebody. And then I saw her after the race. She's like, I missed my turn. I'm like, where did you miss your turn? I mean, because there was volunteers out there like, okay, this way, this way, this way. She's like, I don't know. I just thought we were supposed to turn this way and I missed it. So she ended up running 8 miles, which was kind of bizarre because she basically did the 10K course plus
a couple
the out and back. Yeah.
Now, did she have headphones in?
She did.
Oh, okay. Because before the race, they actually warned everybody that, you know, they weren't going to say, like, it's an absolute rule you can't wear headphones. But they encourage everybody not to wear them because it's a lot of single track. You might have to call out, you know, when you're passing people and then the out and backs and stuff like that. So they really did encourage you not to wear headphones. And you did not.
I didn't.
Which you normally do wear them.
Right. So. I was glad I didn't, though, because, I mean, I got to enjoy, like, just nature. I know that sounds kind of, I don't know, cheesy, but I really got to, like, enjoy it versus, you know, getting lost in my music. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of nice, just kind of, like, you know, you pay more attention to other people and just, like, the trees and the dirt and the nature. And maybe it let me focus more, too, on, like, you know, taking steps so I wouldn't fall and that sort of thing. So, it worked out pretty well that I didn't have the music. There wasn't a lot of people, I don't think, that had music with them or...
Yeah, it was.
Your phones, I mean, that. I would say the majority didn't.
Yeah.
So, first out and back, and then on the elevation chart that they post, it looks like the first 2.5 miles are like straight uphill. So, you know, I'm thinking, okay, if I can make it through that, you know, it shouldn't be too bad because the last 2.5 miles are pretty much downhill. You're pretty much running down what you just did, and everything in between is just looked like slight rolling, but it was much more difficult than that. And it was funny because I was, you know, I figured, okay, if I can get to the first 2.5 miles, it'll be just slight, very slight rolling trail. And then I'll be going downhill. And, you know, I'll be tired. I'll just have to be careful not to fall downhill. But, you know, it won't be tough, like, on my quads as far as, like, the uphill goes. But that didn't really turn out to be the case. It was a bit tougher than I had anticipated. And somebody else later on that was running close to me was like, I thought this was supposed to level out soon. I'm like, I thought so too. You know, we're kind of, you know, trying to figure out where we were at and stuff. So that was kind of funny. Ended up talking to a lot more people on this race just while I was out there than I normally would. But I think that's kind of the feel I get with more like trail races. You just kind of end up talking to a little bit more people. And maybe it's just the fact that, like you said before, the kind of the brazen races seem to be a little bit more community oriented, kind of.
Well,
like
people, I think,
kind of, and plus we're going slower.
Yeah, if you're like power walking or power hiking up a hill, it's easier to have a conversation. Or if, you know, if less people have music in their
ears,
that's
true. Yeah, because most people didn't have it. Yeah. So out and back, and then you make it back to that first intersection, and then it's all a single track from there, mostly shaded, but lots of roots, lots of rocks. There's a couple of sections where there was, you know, trees just kind of jutting out right into the trail, but, you know, pretty obvious, and they put, you know, ribbons on them so you can pretty much see them. But still, you know, just tripped a bunch of times. I know a lot of other people were kind of slipping and sliding, and I know of at least two other people that actually fell. I think one of them just got like a scraped knee or something, no big deal. Somebody else said she ended up landing in a really soft area. I think it was like right off the trail. So probably just a couple of scrapes, but I think that kind of comes with maybe the territory.
Mm-hmm.
And I did use my ASR, my Brooks ASR trail running shoes, which I mentioned once before. Mm-hmm. This was the first race I actually wore them for, and it actually helped a lot in comparison to just my regular Brooks Adrenaline, which I wear for like road races. And
yeah,
the majority of my running.
Right. The regular Adrenaline GTS is your regular road shoe, and then ASR is basically the exact same shoe, just a little bit beefier for the trail.
Right. Yeah, because I felt a lot better traction. I don't know, maybe it was in my head. Maybe it was placebo effect.
I'm sure it helps a little bit.
Yeah, but it helped. So I didn't really have any problems with the shoe. Oh, I did get 2 blisters on my big toes.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't like body glide in those areas. That's usually what I'll use. And I just didn't really think about it before the race. And I don't really know why. If it's maybe just because of the change of terrain, you know, putting pressure in different parts. That'll probably explain it. So, and then went through what I thought was the rolling section of the course. I guess technically it was in comparison to the beginning and the end, but pretty tough. Still totally shaded. I didn't even really need to take my sunglasses out there. I ended up putting them just on the top of my hat because it's like, you know, it was pretty dark, you know, with the shade, but that was great. Made it to the 10K turnaround section. For those people doing the 10K, it was a brutal 10K. I give them props for doing that. It's probably...
Yeah, actually, even saw people coming in when they finished their 10K, and they were like, that's the hardest 10K I've ever done.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was one lady that came in, and myself and somebody else were actually like, are you okay? Because she looked really beaten, kind of really like I wasn't even sure if she was going to like fall over or what, because she was trying to like say something for a while, and she couldn't get it out, which I think she was just saying, you know, how crazy hard it was is what
she
couldn't
even. It was so hard she couldn't even get that
exactly.
out.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely a tough 10K.
Yeah. So props to those people that did the 10K.
So I hope nobody signed up saying, "Oh, it's just a 10K."
Yeah.
Because, yeah, no easy task.
Although when we were in the parking lot leaving, and there was a woman next to us that was getting in her car, and I think she did the 10K.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh, how was the half?" I was like, "Oh, it was pretty brutal, you know." And she's like, "Yeah." She's like, "That was a really tough 10K." She's like, "I think I really need to start looking at the elevation charts before I sign up from now on." I'm like, "Okay, she probably had no idea what she was in for then if she hadn't looked at
the elevation chart." Yeah, I mean, the advice is, I guess, take a look at the elevation chart. But, you know, I don't know how much that's going to help you if you don't really do a lot of trail running anyways.
True.
You know, is just a random person looking at it and going, "Oh, it's 1500 feet or 3000 feet. Is that going to make
a big difference?"
Yeah. I don't know how much that'll register in your head. Cause I honestly do a lot of hiking, and I'm kind of used to talking elevation like that, but I don't have a clue what it would take Adamead to, you know, do 3,000 or 4,000 feet of elevation in running a race.
Right.
Big difference between that and just hiking the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think that's probably the fact that we do hike, or at least in the past years, we've hiked a lot and, you know, have kind of got an idea of what that takes from us, you know, to do a certain number of miles, you know, at a certain elevation. That I think that's probably what kind of helps me put it in perspective, even though I'm running it. Mm-hmm. I knew, okay, you know, 3,000 or just under 3,000, like that's significant, you know, just comparing it to hikes we've done in the past. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I need to run that, you know, 13 miles. So yeah, I think that the fact that, you know, we're hikers, that helped me. But yeah, that's a good point. I guess if people don't really hike or need to really worry about elevation in any other part of their life, you know, would that really help if they pulled up the elevation chart?
Although I guess hopefully you're doing some kind of trail running beforehand.
Right. So yeah.
Yeah. When they start giving that speech, you know, every year somebody rolls an ankle and you kind of look for the eyes going, huh? Wait, what? How? What? No, right. That's not what I signed up for. But yeah.
Right. And in my head, when they said that, I'm like, okay, one, I hope it's not me. And two, I was like, I hope it's towards the end so I could finish the race if it is. Maybe that's not the best thought, but that's what I was thinking.
I mean, it's got to
suck. One, I hope it's not me.
It's got to be horrible if you're like literally at the farthest point in the race and you roll your ankle or something and you kind of have to hobble. Like,
yeah.
You know, if you're hobbling like 6 miles back or something.
Yeah,
that would just take forever.
That'd be horrible.
So.
Yeah. Although probably at... Not the furthest point, but almost the furthest point of the course. We were actually by another parking area, so that wouldn't have been the most horrible place to kind of roll an ankle or that sort of thing. So
some of the pictures that one of the aid stations, mm-hmm. there was like a car in the background.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, you could obviously drive at least to the aid station,
right?
You know, if you were working it. So yeah. It's not like one where they had
right.
to,
you have
like,
to hike out
5 miles to the aid
exactly.
station to be a volunteer. So
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Neither here nor there, but
right. Just random.
Yeah, random thoughts that come into my head.
So, I know you always think of kind of some random things. But it's a good point though, instead of having to trek out there, you know, it's like, oh, there's a parking lot right there.
I just thought it was weird when I saw the picture and there was like an SUV in the background. I'm like,
you're
oh,
like,
okay.
You're like, you know, where is this?
Sometimes yeah. they'll have like a ranger.
Right.
Can take you out there on fire roads and stuff, but the one I saw in the picture was like obviously like a private vehicle. So mm-hmm. So yeah, continue.
Yeah, so got to the 10K turnaround, you know, 10Kers turn around. We go right past it. There's a good aid station there. Lots of food. I think I grabbed, at each aid station, I think, or two of the aid stations, I think I ended up passing like four or five of them. Got water and actually ended up getting whatever electrolyte drink they have. I actually got that at two aid stations and I felt quite a bit better after drinking that electrolyte. So I think I'm going to have to. And for other reasons that I'll talk about later, I think I'm going to have to work in some electrolytes into my longer runs and mm-hmm. trail running and that sort of thing. So, didn't get any food though. I don't know. I've never really, I guess, trained with
that way.
Food.
Yeah.
I had Goo's with me. I had my Honey Stinger chews. Maybe if I didn't have that, and they had Goo too. So I could have always gotten that. And then it gets a little bit crazy when you start doing the second out and back because it's so narrow. It's, you know, single track, but now you have the super fast people, you know, flying by you in the opposite direction. So of course you want to, you know, kind of get out of their way, but you're trying not to fall off the trail, you know, and you also don't want to have to stop, you know, every 5 seconds that somebody's coming by you. But it's also kind of cool to be able to see like the leaders, you know, kind
go
of,
by.
Yeah, go by. It's like, oh, wow. And there's actually a kid, like, I don't know, 10-year-old, 12-year-old.
Yeah, something like
something
that.
Something like that. And he was way faster than I was. He was
yeah,
up there.
Yeah, he finished, I don't know what he finished. Top 15 among men, I think.
Yeah.
So, he did a great job. And then we saw another, a real small kid.
A little kid. That was really cute.
And he had, it was funny because he had like, he actually had, I don't know if he had Saucony or Asics, like actual running shoes. And then, I think he had like a C9 sleeveless shirt. And
right.
And then an actual camelback.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cute because he kind of looked the part of a complete runner there, but in that miniature size package. So he was real cute. But yeah, that kid that was 10 was.
But that little one did the 5K. He didn't do that.
Right.
Yeah. It wasn't like, yeah, child neglect.
Child abuse. There.
Yeah, anything like that. That's funny. He fit your criteria then, right, for being a runner.
Yeah.
What he was wearing.
No, it was funny. And he was. Yeah, he seemed to be real excited about...
Yeah, he was really excited.
Because he was, like, looking for a place to fill up his camelback.
Yeah.
And stuff. He was like, hey, Dad, over here. And he, like, saw the water fountain and
right.
stuff. So
there,
I saw him
pretty
go over
cute.
There and fill it up. So.
Yeah, it was pretty cute. But yeah, that other kid, he did really good. The one that did the half marathon. So
yeah, I was trying to see if I could actually find his age.
I was very impressed.
On the results, but I don't see it.
No.
No.
So yeah, I mean, that was just the tough part. Looks like the youngest that I see is a 14-year-old. I swear he was not 14.
He's a, I guess, a young, young-looking 14-year-old.
No way.
Yeah, I'm looking at the same thing you are. Yeah, 14.
Wow. I mean, he looked like he was probably 11 or 12.
And
to me.
And he beat you by like 20 minutes.
Okay, thanks. 25 minutes. Thanks for pointing that out.
So kudos to him.
Yeah. No, yeah. That's crazy when I saw him out there. So, so the second out and back, and then coming back from that, it was, you know, retracing some of the steps we had already taken. Actually, the majority.
I'm going to interrupt you real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that 14-year-old finished 12th overall for the entire race.
Yeah. See, I knew he was, I knew he was up there.
Yeah, I knew he was top 15. So,
yeah. You're right. You were top 15. He was top 15, but he was, overall. So, what was I saying?
Sorry.
That's okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. The second out and back, coming back, you know, basically kind of retracing, you know, your steps. Had already seen, you know, the trail before, but now in the opposite direction. Overall, that part was, the majority was like kind of was downhill. So it was a lot more running and less power walking or power hiking. And I actually got, for a lot of miles, I actually got set up with like, or not a lot, probably like 2 miles, I don't know. It kind of got fuzzy. 2 or 3 miles, maybe. I was kind of in a group of, I think, 4 of us women, and we were just kind of like just jamming down, you know, the trail and going pretty fast. Luckily, I was second in that little group because I don't like being in the front going downhill because I just feel pressured. Right. And that's when I'm more likely to kind of trip or make mistakes because I feel like, oh, I got to like, you know, keep up. So I was kind of glad I wasn't, you know, in the front. Mm-hmm. There was somebody in front of me. And she was sliding all over the place. Oh, I don't think I even told you. There was one spot where it was a switchback. We were, you know, just jamming down the hill pretty quick. And there was like a railing or a fence, you know, to keep people from, I guess, you know, falling or whatever it may be. And she took the turn kind of wide and she actually like slipped a little bit and had to put her hand up on the rail so she didn't go through it. So that was a little scary.
A little quick around the corner.
So then I had to, you know, slow down a little because I didn't want to run into her. And then the two women behind me had to slow down. But, you know, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
We're just jamming down the hill. And then all of a sudden, I just hear the person right behind me just go, oh, you know, crap. But, you know, the other word. And then, and I'm thinking for sure she fell. And I, you know, I try to look back real quick, but I, you know, I didn't want to fall. And I'm like, are you okay? And all I see is the girl behind her, like holding her up, you know, and they were kind of like hugging. So I guess she had slipped and she was like gonna fall, but the girl behind her like kind of ran into her, but ended up keeping her upright so they didn't fall. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, keep going down. They're just like, oh my gosh, I've like almost fallen, you know, 8 or 9 times. And the other ones, and that's when the other one said, oh, I already fell, but you know, I landed in a soft surface, so I was okay. And I was like, oh gosh, I just hope I don't fall. So, unfortunately, I had to actually jump off the trail for a little bit because I was starting to get like, it's like a side stitch. I was starting to cramp up on my side, which is pretty rare for me. And looking back, I probably should have taken that as a sign that something was off with my running. But, you know, I didn't think about it at the time. So I had a side stitch and it was pretty bad where every time I took a step, it hurt. I mean, like pretty bad. And I couldn't take a deep breath because it was hurting so much. So I had to step off, you know, let them go. And I was just kind of trying to take some, you know, deep breaths, trying to massage the area. I don't, you know, I know there's different techniques for, you know, how to get rid of that, you know, blowing out your air really fast. I tried that and I just kind of had to give it a little bit of time for it to go away. So went away. I hopped back on the trail. Believe it or not, nobody came by me during the time that I was actually off the trail. So I hopped back on the trail, ended up being behind them, but still ahead of whoever was behind us. Kept going down the trail and then ended up leveling out and kind of widening out towards the end. Came up on a couple more people, a couple of 10Kers. And I actually passed somebody right in the last, I don't know what, 10th of a mile or even less than that, which I try not to do when it's really close to the finish because I know like they've been ahead of me, you know, like the whole race.
Mm-hmm.
But I had counted in the out and backs to see where I was among women. And if I could beat her, I would have finished top 10. And if I didn't, I would have been 11th. So I just pushed and I tried to, you know, like give it all I had. And this time I had a little bit more than she had. So I was able to finish right ahead of her. So I finished 10th among women, 6th in my age group. So the top 6 out of 10 were in my age group. So that was kind of a bummer, but still good. I'm happy with 10th overall among women. My time, since I tend to forget that, was 2:35:19. So my slowest half ever, including very first half I did a long time ago, although that was, you know, road.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a pace of 11:51. Mind you, I normally run like road halves, like between like 142 and 145. So about 45 minutes slower,
right,
or more than that.
But that's a trail run.
That's a trail run.
But no, I mean, congrats to you. That's, I mean, finishing top 10 is, it's awesome. I think it's totally awesome. So
yeah, I was pretty happy with that.
I would be too.
Yeah. There was one person that I was kind of trying to beat all along that I'd seen at like road races. I think you know who I'm talking about. That I'd seen at road races before, but ended up finishing pretty close, but didn't make it. So it's all right. Next time around.
Yeah. So top 10.
Top 10.
Good job. Got your medal.
Got my medal. My finisher's medal.
Grabbed your It's It.
Yep.
Did you have an It's It? Did you actually eat it?
I think I had like half of it.
Okay.
It always sounds way better. Like, before
the ice cream thing.
Yeah, and then like at the end I'm kind of like, I don't really want like chocolate ice cream. I don't know, I just, for me personally, I kind of didn't really want chocolate ice cream. Had some water, had a Coke, which they normally don't have, but that's like one of my favoriteest things to have after a difficult run, because it just tastes really good and I just love Coke. And I try not to drink it that much. I hardly ever drink it, but it tasted really good. So got Coke, had some orange slices. Of course, they had the whole usual spread of fruits, cookies, candy, random cakes, like red velvet cake and all of that.
Yeah, chips. Raisin always has lots of food post-race. Yeah. We always talk about the ice cream and stuff. So
right. And especially, I mean, for what they had when I came in, after all the 5Kers had come in, the majority of 10K, you know, people had already come in and eaten, and, you know, a handful of half marathoners, like there was still a lot of food out there.
Yeah, all the 5Kers were basically gone.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I ever saw them except for the ones that got there early pre-race. I never saw any 5Kers at all.
I barely did either, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we stuck around to catch results, which they posted very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we saw that you were sixth in your age group.
Yep.
And then I guess we left pretty quick after that. We didn't stick around too long.
No. Because we kind of had a, you know, bit of a drive back home, and we were going to try to make some stops on the way home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a lot of stuff to do that
right.
day.
Right. We had a lot planned for the day, but it didn't go quite as planned.
Yeah. So now we get to the part we alluded to earlier, which is the interesting part of the day.
Right. Which is the crazy part of my weekend training, which wasn't really training, but still.
So, yeah. So hang out at the race a little bit, leave pretty quickly, hop in the car, start heading out of there, and then?
And then I started feeling really bad. So started getting, I think the first thing was I felt a little lightheaded, and I was like, oh, I'm probably just a little bit dehydrated. It, you know, it was warm. I was out there for 2.5 hours. I probably just needed, you know, drink some fluids. Of course, what do I go for? Not the water. I grab another Coke. Not the brightest thing to do.
Well, that's when you were in the car, you had the second Coke?
Yeah, I had the second Coke in the car. So looking back, okay, that was something pretty obvious now that maybe I should have gone for the water and had, or Gatorade or whatever, you know, some sort of something other than a Coke. So anyways, you know, started feeling a little lightheaded, but not so bad where like I want to pass out or anything, but just not, you know, just not feeling that good. Started getting a little nauseated. I was like, oh, maybe I just need to eat something, you know, maybe my blood sugar, you know, always, of course, trying to analyze like, you know, what's going on, what do I need. But I mean, I've kind of felt somewhat like that before on tough runs or hot runs or long runs. I mean, last week, I think I talked about, you know, I got a little nauseated and ended up throwing up, but then I felt good afterwards. I thought, well, maybe this is just going to be that. I'm just going to have you pull over or something. I'll throw up and I'll be good. But then my breathing started getting kind of quick. It was just like, and this was after I had like, I guess you could say cooled down. You know, I had my breathing was back to normal, you know, it was okay. And then all of a sudden it was just like starting to speed up and I couldn't control it. I wasn't, you know, wheezing or anything. I didn't, you know, feel anxious or, you know, like I was having an anxiety attack, or I mean, I don't really know what that feels like, but it didn't feel like that, I don't think. And I know you're like, are you okay? I was like, I don't even know what I said. I think I was like, I don't think so, or I don't know, or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then I was just like, God, I was like, I can't like slow down my breathing. I don't know what's wrong with me. I just can't slow it down. I couldn't do it. But, you know, you were driving, thankfully, you know, just, hopping on the freeway, and then it got worse. And I was like, oh no, maybe something, you know, bad is going on. What if like I'm having heart trouble? I mean, I have no history of any heart trouble, but of course, you know, I'm like, what if like something's wrong with my heart? And it got a little bit better, and then it didn't really get much better. And so I grabbed my iPhone and actually looked up kind of like the closest hospital, I guess, in the area that we were driving in. And I was like, maybe you should go here and just stop. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah, I think so. So then you started... Tell me if I'm like remembering this totally wrong.
No,
I wasn't
feeling
well. Okay.
Yeah, no. I mean, so, then, you know, we headed basically to the hospital.
Yep.
Because I even said at the time, I said, well, let's head that way. If you feel better by the time we get there, then we just don't go in and leave. If you're not feeling better, then you're at the hospital already. You know, it kind of covers you if you get really worse.
Right.
So we headed to the hospital and actually...
And I still wasn't sure that I wanted to go in.
Right.
I mean, we're already there. We had parked. But part of me was like, I probably should get seen because I've never felt this way before. And my breathing is still not that great. But the other part of me was like, I don't want to be in the ER all day. And I know that sounds stupid, but I'm sure all of you guys would probably think the same thing. You know, I don't want to be in the ER all day. What if I just need to drink some water? And maybe that's what I should have tried. But, you know, like maybe, you know, I'm going to be there all day. You know, we wanted to do all these things. We kind of had a, you know, pretty long to-do list. And yeah, okay, you know, my health comes over that. But in the moment, right. You're kind of like, eh. So I was like, well, maybe we should just walk around and see how I feel. And he's like, well, why don't you just go in? I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, maybe, you know, I'll just peek inside the waiting room. If it's really busy, we'll leave. So anyways, went in and it's not that busy. But, you know, got triaged, told him what I was feeling. Pretty much all of my vital signs, except for my respiratory rate, I think were normal. You know, my blood pressure was okay. My pulse, maybe a little high for me, but still okay. Mm-hmm. My oxygen saturation was okay. So yeah, they did all of that, you know, talked to like a triage doctor. She's like, yeah, you know, we should probably bring you back. Just, you know, do some lab work and see what's going on. Maybe you're just dehydrated. Not really sure what's going on, but you know, let's check you out and that sort of thing. So they bring me back. Didn't really have to wait like hardly at all.
No, the whole thing was actually pretty big. It was pretty fast.
Yeah.
To get seen and taken care of, really.
Right. So got back there. They started an IV on me, hooked me up to a monitor, I guess, because I was, you know, because of the shortness of breath and just kind of not really being able to like catch my breath. And ended up, you know, drawing some labs, started IV fluids. So I ended up getting 1 liter of fluids, and I'm thinking, okay, that'll probably, in my head, I'm like, oh, that'd probably be good. You know, I'll feel better with that. And
yeah, I was actually watching the monitors while they, from when you got hooked up, and your respiratory rate was definitely much faster than it should have been.
Yeah.
And then as we were there for an hour,
right,
hour and a half, I could actually watch it on the monitor, basically kind of slowly dropping over time.
Right. And I was feeling better, you know, as the IV fluids were going in, as we're waiting for lab results, you know, I was feeling better. Like I could feel that my breathing wasn't as, you know, labored and, you know, I wasn't nauseated anymore. I was starting to get a little hungry because I really hadn't had anything to eat after the race. You know, wasn't really feeling lightheaded anymore at that point, you know, still a little just warm, but you know, I was feeling better. So I kind of expected them to say, you know, like, okay, yeah, you were just a little dehydrated. We gave you, you know, a liter of fluids. You'll be able to go home. But, that was not the case. Unfortunately, they came back in and said, oh yeah, your results are back. Your numbers are really off. Your kidney function is not normal. And we actually have to give you another 2 liters, additional 2 liters of fluids. And then draw lab work again and make sure that your kidney function is good before we can even send you home. And I was like, oh my God, I think we just looked at each other at that point. Like, okay, I guess it was pretty bad. And it was funny because I know they were kind of waiting for me to give a urine sample. And I mean, I really didn't have like the urge to go at all. I think they even asked, like, you think? And I was like, well, I don't know, I can try. They're like, oh, well, after you know, we give you the liter of fluids, it'll be no problem. You know, you'll have to go. Got the liter of fluids and they're like, you have to go to the bathroom? I was like, no, but I can try. So, you know, I was able to, but it was really dark. And I kind of knew at that point, after getting a liter of fluids, with it being really dark, that, yeah, I was probably pretty dehydrated. So, got another 2 liters of fluids. So 3 liters total, which took, you know, several more hours.
Right.
Right. To get in my system. And then drew labs again at that point. I was feeling a lot better at that point. I mean, just kind of tired, you know, but kind of just normal post-race feel. I think my heart or my respirations were like fine at that point, I think, right? By that time,
after like an hour and a half or 2 hours, yeah. Your breathing was kind of back to normal.
Yeah, and I wasn't really feeling nauseous. I was hungry at that point. I was like starving. But I still was thinking that we would get out there, you know, leave soon and we'd just be able to go eat. But, you know, they drew my labs again. We had to wait for those results. And thankfully, you went out and got us some food. So that was nice. Mm-hmm. I was starving.
Made a quick run to Subway. I was starving. I can't imagine what you were.
Yeah, I was pretty
hungry.
How
hungry you were, so.
I was pretty hungry. So I got the 2 liters in, drew labs. They said, you know, it's much better. Your kidney function's actually back in the normal range now. So you should be good to go home. But I guess my numbers were pretty bad. I mean, and when you start talking about, you know, kidney function being affected and they're worried about, you know, like they actually have to recheck it before you go home. Yeah, maybe I pushed a little too hard or a lot too hard, or I didn't hydrate well enough. I mean, they talked that I'd probably had like mild rhabdo. For those of you that are familiar, that's when you start, you know, breaking down your own muscle, you know, and they see like protein in your urine and blood in your urine and, ketones, which is just a big sign of dehydration. So thankfully it was just mild and then, you know, able to correct it with, you know, IV fluids and not have any long-term effects. But I guess a big lesson learned for me on a lot of different things. One, the big one is just hydrate way better. That's the main one, I think. It's just,
yeah, I mean, I
was
think...
not even, I mean, if I had to get 3 liters of fluid after that, I was nowhere near close to hydrating how I needed to during the race.
Well, I think they also gave you
more than need.
Yeah,
I think so too.
I think two would have been good.
Yeah, but, I think so.
I don't know if they were just worried or what, but yeah,
they kind of seemed worried, which made me worried because I wasn't super worried until they started seeming worried. And yeah. I don't know.
I mean, the funny thing is, while we were at the hospital the whole time, basically everybody is looking at you, and I guess me by association, like you're crazy because you ran a half marathon,
and it was like saying I was
a really hot day.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, we were at the hospital. God, we were at the hospital from 11 something or noon, maybe.
No, like 11 something.
Yeah, it was like 11 something until
six. Yeah, we were there for 7 hours.
And yeah, it was a hot day. Of course, you weren't running at noon.
11 a.m. Right?
Yeah, you ran at 8 a.m. So right. When they kept saying like, "Oh, what are you doing? It's, you know, it's 90 degrees out there." I'm like, "Well,
it wasn't when I was out
there." She didn't literally run in the door right now, but yeah, having all that time in the hospital, we kind of had a lot of time to
reflect
and talk about like. All the things that kind of went wrong for you, I guess, which I guess I had a lot of opinions on. I mean, I think the first thing I said to you was, you know, you're used to running a half for an hour and 45.
Right.
And you were out there on that day for 2 hours and 35 minutes.
Right. So that's like number one there.
Just taking into account how long you were out there, I don't think you drank more than you probably would on a regular half. I don't think you drank much more.
Probably not much more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, probably not much more. The only difference was like I got two swigs of electrolyte, but still, that's two swigs. It's not. Right. Yeah.
So you were out there, you know, much longer.
Mm-hmm.
A very tough trail race where you're putting out a lot more effort than you normally would.
Yeah.
It was definitely warm.
Mm-hmm.
Much warmer than you're used to. You know, to begin with, you're probably not that great at hydrating.
Yeah. I mean, not significantly less, but I did drink less that morning than I normally do before a race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I mentioned, actually, I realized today was, you know, we've talked in the past, you do a lot of running on your treadmill.
Right.
Or not on your treadmill. Yeah. The treadmill at the gym.
I don't own one. It's not mine. Right. I don't have my name
on
it.
It belongs to the gym. But you're running at the gym, which is, you know, air conditioned, climate controlled.
Right.
That's where you're doing a lot of your running.
Yeah.
A lot of my
long runs.
And you even do a lot of your long runs. So you're actually not used to running in heat at all.
Right.
So that's a contributing factor. So it's kind of
a lot of different things.
A lot of different things. That side stitch that you had,
which isn't typical for
me. Not normal for you.
Right.
Kind of a warning sign.
Right.
Which you probably I think you ignored and you probably pushed really hard.
I did
the last 2 miles.
Yeah. Maybe even the last 3 or 4.
Yeah. So
I mean, just being honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did push pretty hard.
Yeah.
I did.
And I think you know.
That's probably the hardest. That's probably the hardest I've pushed. Ever, like in a half or 10K or full.
Yeah.
I mean, really, honestly.
So, I mean, I think when we kind of looked at it, it was like a lot of little things that
contributed
to it. And I guess every little one of those little things went against you.
Right.
Which kind of led to you being in the hospital.
Yeah.
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 So, I don't know.
That was kind of my crazy
day. I kind of even said you took water in your bottle.
Yeah.
And I was even suggesting, you know, maybe even if you don't want to switch to like Gatorade or some kind of electrolyte drink for the whole bottle, at least take maybe like a 50-50
in
the bottle.
And I probably should because I know you and I have talked about it before. I know we all sweat differently. I sweat quite a bit and I'm a salty sweater. I mean, I don't know how better to describe it, but, you know, you always see, like, sweat marks, you know, like, on my face, you know, on my clothes sometimes, you know, after running. So I'm somebody who basically sweats out a lot of salt. And so I probably need to take in a little bit more sodium or electrolytes than you may, you know, in particular, because you're not really a salty right. sweater, or, you know, somebody just like me who isn't really a salty sweater. So I think individually for me specifically, it'd probably be a good idea to do like at least a 50-50 or even, I don't know, you know, electrolyte and water.
Yeah, I mean, looking back, you should have, you know, maybe taken a 50-50 in the bottle, taken more at the aid stations. You didn't finish your bottle.
No.
Even with the water that you did have, you didn't even finish that.
No. I probably drank half of it, honestly.
Yeah. So
you only had... used some of it to actually pour on my head and on my neck.
So you didn't even tell me that. That's even
worse. No, well, I told you I drank half, but the rest, and then there was a little bit. So, I mean, if you looked at my bottle at the end, it was like 3/4 empty, I think.
But some of that went on your head.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I think you made a lot of,
small.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I guess not well, hydrating one enough big is
one.
A big mistake.
I made one big one and then there was a lot of smaller factors, right. I guess I should say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess, I don't know. I guess all we could say is you live and learn.
Exactly.
You kind of have to, you got to kind of push to the line to find out where the line is at sometimes.
I think I found it.
And you did find it.
Right.
Turned in, like I said, I think we ended up being at the hospital for, God, must have been like 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. I was joking afterwards. I'm like, man, this is the longest race I've ever been to. Stick forever. But in the end, you're fine.
I'm
your
fine.
Labs are back to normal.
Right. My labs are back to normal. I just got to do some follow-up, make sure, you know, I'm okay and that sort of thing. But
I even told you absolutely no running on Sunday.
Right.
Because it wouldn't have surprised me if you said, no, I'm still going to run on Sunday, the day after the race. And I was like, no, don't do that. And then so we're recording this on a Monday. You didn't run today, right?
Nope, no workouts for me today at all.
And you'll probably get back to it tomorrow.
Tomorrow, but I don't think I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to push hard. I'm just going to, you know, take an easy, or try to do an easy run, see how I feel. And if I'm not feeling well, you know, if I get, you know, really fatigued or something, I'll just stop or dial it back or something. So no reason for me to push hard at this point at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe you need to do some more training outdoors, be a little more conscious of the heat.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, I definitely want to do more trail running.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but even just regular road running, I probably need to do a little bit more of that just to be outside.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely prepare for, you know, these trail races. Even if it's a half, you're going to be out there much longer than your typical half.
Right. And go ahead.
And that's if things go good in how you're feeling. If you had run a little bit slower, you were a little bit off. Although your effort level would have been less, you'd have been out there for even longer.
Right.
And it would have been even hotter when you finished.
Right.
So, yeah.
I mean, I think I was so focused on, oh, the elevation is going to be crazy. Oh, it's a trail run. You know, what's that going to be like? You know, I haven't been to that park before, that sort of thing. It's going to be a tough run. And even though I kept, you know, thinking or saying like, okay, it's going to be warmer, it's going to be warmer, I think that was still, unfortunately, something that I didn't put a lot of effort into, you know, making sure that I hydrated well. I mean, I think I started off pretty good at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kept taking sips and that sort of thing. And I think I started feeling the water like sloshing in my stomach, and maybe I just took too much at the beginning, but I think subconsciously that kind of like I backed off because of that. Cause I was like, oh, that's, you know, that's uncomfortable. I don't want that. And then, but instead of returning to, you know, taking a lot more sips, I kind of like dialed back a little bit for the rest of the race, which I shouldn't have, but I think that's what ended up happening. So yeah, live and learn.
Lessons. I mean, it's, you know, I guess if you're listening,
learn from my mistakes. Yeah, don't push yourself to the line or past it like I did. Hydrate.
Yeah.
But so, it was still a fun run.
It was just the post run.
It was the post run.
That kind of went everything went haywire.
Yeah.
Afterwards. Yeah, right. It was just really weird because, you know, it wasn't like you finished and 5 minutes later. Or you finished and you couldn't catch your breath right after. It was, I mean, we were literally, you know, you got your post-race drinks and you grabbed me an ice cream and we checked results and then we walked back to the car, which is a little bit of a walk.
Right. I went and changed clothes in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's right. You changed. We hopped in the car and then we started driving, and then that's when you kind of had the breathing issue. But yeah, if nothing else, you probably should have started drinking right away afterwards.
Right, I should have.
And not those darn two Cokes.
Darn it.
Because you normally don't even have a Coke. Post run, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So in some ways you did something different on race day. You're not supposed to do that. Even if it's after the race, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, for recovery. I mean, it's true. For recovery, I probably shouldn't have done that.
Should
have just taken a Coke and taken it to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Could have had it with dinner.
Yeah, right.
At home.
Yeah.
Instead of the hospital.
Yep.
Yeah, so I guess that's going to wrap it up for the race in the hospital. We'll put those together. Yeah, anything else on the race?
Nothing I can think of. I mean, it was... I mean, they put on a really great event. You know, nothing that I can complain about as far as, mm-hmm. you know, the event itself. The volunteers were great. You know, the aid stations were fully stocked. It's not like it was any of that that, you know, contributed to my demise.
Yeah, the one last thing I should harp on again is that this was your third weekend in a row racing?
Yes.
Or fourth?
Third.
Third.
Which that was, yeah, that was another thing you had brought up when you were in the hospital. Like, that could have played a role.
Just throw one weekend off.
Yeah.
In there.
Which, I mean, I don't think I have any plan.
Although, I don't think that was really a big deal.
No. But, yeah.
Because it's not like you did a, you know, a full marathon the week before or anything like that, or even a half, so.
Right.
But yeah, just thought I'd mention.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you never know. Maybe that, you know, not having, I don't know.
Yeah, because once in a while, I always tell you need to take a little bit more of a break.
Yeah,
I think I was telling you that yesterday or the day before. I was like, hey, once in a while, you need to throw back, you know, throw a week in there where you do a little bit less just to let your body kind of get a little bit more recovery in there. So,
yeah,
so that wraps up the race. Good race. Mm-hmm. I had fun watching. I don't know. I think during the race, I actually was in the car most of the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, what did you actually watch?
I took my iPad and I was watching a movie during most of the race because you were out there for 2.5 hours.
I know.
So I watched the start and then I went to the car and kind of watched the movie and then went back to catch the fastest half marathoners come in. So, but yeah.
And they were fast.
The fastest half marathoners?
Yeah.
Yeah, the fastest, you know, you finished in 2:35 in 10th place. The fastest woman was
1:55.
Yeah.
That was an 8:48 pace.
Yeah, which
That's
is
ridiculous.
Wicked fast. And
I just can't even.
I can barely run an 8:48 on a flat city street 5K. So
yeah,
that's crazy fast.
But and I think she set a new
course record.
Yeah.
Doing it. So, yeah, that's the race. We're not racing next weekend.
Nope. Or the weekend after that. Right?
Or the weekend after that. I think we got 3 weeks until we both run our next race, which we just literally filled out the paperwork. Like 5 minutes before we started recording.
Yeah.
So we're actually going back to do a Brazen event.
Uh-huh.
We're doing the Dirty Dozen, which is either a 6 or 12 hour endurance event.
Yeah.
So
don't worry, I'm going to do a much better job of hydrating on this one, and it's not.
The weather should be much better,
and it's relatively flat. Yeah.
But basically, it's an event where we're going to do the 6 hour, where you basically have 6 hours to run as many miles as you can or want to.
Yeah.
And you run it on a 5K loop, at least for the first 5 hours.
And then the last hour, there's like a 0.7 mile loop that you want to do shorter.
Yeah.
You don't have to run the full 6 hours if you don't want to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can, I think there'll be some people that are just going to literally walk for 6 hours.
Yeah. Or I mean, you could actually like bow out at 4 hours.
Yeah.
Five
you can,
hours if
you can
want
stop
to,
at two so. Hours. You know, you can run out there, go do 10 miles and just quit. You know, if that's 2 hours, you can go run for 2 hours. You can go back. I know they're going to be having a barbecue and it's Brazen, so they'll have tons of food.
Right.
You can take a nap for an hour or 2 hours and then go back out and run for another 2 hours.
Are you going to go to the car and watch a movie on your iPad? And
that's a pretty good idea, actually.
Go back out for another 2 hours.
But yeah, maybe we'll talk next week about kind of what our plan, or maybe the week before, about what our plans and goals are.
For that,
because yeah, I for sure am not going to be running for 6 hours straight. So
yeah, I won't be running for 6 hours straight, but I haven't.
But you might be out there. For
I
six
might
hours.
Be out there for 6 hours.
Yeah, just a lot of walking.
Yeah.
So yeah, and actually, we still kind of have to figure out in our own heads what our strategies are going to be.
Right. I mean, we literally just signed up, so we haven't really.
Yeah. Yeah. But it just seemed like a really cool and interesting event that we kind of had in our heads to do like 6 months ago.
Right.
So we just kind of waited to the last minute to register at the early reg price and commit to doing it. So
they also have as part of that day or whatever, they also have 2 5Ks and 2 10Ks.
Yeah, like one in the morning, one in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I mean, the good cool thing about it is if you're not an early riser to go do these 5Ks at like 7 a.m., 8 a.m., I think the first 5K is at what time? It's like 11 or something?
11, I think.
Yeah, 11 a.m. Yeah. And then there's one in the afternoon or evening or something.
Like at 4 or 5 p.m. or
right.
something like that.
And it's kind of cool because if you're doing the 6 or the 12 hour, like after you've been out there for a couple hours, there'll literally be a 5K and a 10K that kind of join you.
Yeah.
So it kind of gives you a...
Kind of pumps you up a little bit.
Yeah, a little infusion of fresh blood out on the trail.
Right.
And I would think that would kind of help your motivation.
I would think so.
Kind of find that somewhat exciting.
Yeah.
Or annoying, I guess, if it's tons of people. I don't know. Right. Never done it before, so I guess we'll see.
We'll find out.
Yeah. So,
so I got to figure out my main focus with that is figuring out my hydration strategy after this.
Well, it gives you a good chance to,
practice
and work on that. But yeah, I don't think the heat's going to be,
an issue. Yeah, it's like on the bay. I think.
And it's because it's an endurance event. It's, I think it's going to feel a lot less, you'll feel a lot less pressure to go fast.
Right.
Cause like, hey, I'm going to be here for 6 hours. You know, are you really,
I won't have to be like bombing down the hill or.
Yeah, I don't know.
Power hiking up a hill.
It's different when you're
kind of
out there running for miles versus time in a way. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to describe that, but.
No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different.
So, but that'll be fun and interesting. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's going to do it for this week's show. You want to take us out of here?
Sure. So, the website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. From there, you can head over to our Facebook page or you can go directly to facebook.com/embracerunning. If you have any comments, questions, feedback, strategies for my hydration, or anything related, race reports, you can go to email us at feedback@embracerunning.com. And that's going to do it for us this week. So until next time, keep on running and hydrating.